The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Hello.
How was your weekend?
Yeah, it was good.
Good.
That's good.
Glad to see you.
A full weekend off for both of us.
Oh, you got the weekend off also?
Yeah, surprisingly enough.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Where do I begin? I'll tell you who's on the show today. How about that? We'll start there. Paul Sporer on Major League Baseball. Todd Wishnev joins us. Hey. Todd Wishnev joins us to talk not only his in-game Major League Baseball betting, but also how his bet with Steve Fezzik is going, his weight loss bet. We'll talk to Toddy about that. Hottie Toddy. It's the theme for the show. Ben Wilson, speaking of that, will join us on college baseball. Bradley Porras momentarily as well. Wes Reynolds on the shenanigans of the PGA Tour yesterday. And moving forward to the Open Championship, what bets he has there. All of those on the show today. But we begin, let me just start. Well, before we even begin with college baseball, what happened. Here are Wimbledon begins. The fortnight of Wimbledon has begun. But all four of my picks have not begun. Now I think they're suspended for rain yet again, I believe, to begin the fortnight of Wimbledon. But I have four picks, two on the men's side, two on the ladies' side. So let me just get those out. Dan Weston, by the way, joining us later, too. He was not on the graphic. So the great Dan Weston will join us to talk Wimbledon a little later on the show. But my four picks, two on the men's side, two dogs. I got John Millman at plus 161, the Australian who has not been in the best form of his career of late. Perhaps his career has peaked, but Miomir Kecmanovic, not a good grass court player, and I think John Millman can outlast him at plus 161. Great number to get a guy who I think is going to win this outright. Radu Albot against David Goffin. This is not really Goffin's primary surface here either. They faced each other four times before. Goffin has never lost to Albo in those four previous meetings, but at plus 158, that number seems completely out of whack to me. Again, all these based on tennis data that I call together. Victoria Tomova against Daria Saville. I'm taking a flyer on Tomova, who's had some really good wins against quality opponents of late. And to get her at plus 170 feels like a bit of a steal to me. And then the one favorite that we have here, Alison Van Uytvanck against Emma Raducanu, our girl who, of course, won the U.S. Open last year and actually had a really good run. People will forget because of her U.S. Open championship and title last year. That she had a really good run at Wimbledon, got to the second week, I believe, last year. But you look at her numbers, and there's just no mistaking the fact that Van Uytvanck's numbers are so much better than Raducanu's. Dan actually pointed out on the Wimbledon preview pod that I did with both he and Drew Dinsick how Raducanu's serve numbers are just horrific. So I thought minus 164 was actually a good price to pay. So it's Millman, Albot, Tomova, and Van Uytvanck, the four tennis plays of the day. But that is that's what's moving forward here in terms of the summer. The summer that has already happened, well, it went from great to greaterer. Here it is in a nutshell, the summer of 22, y'all. Iga hitting the future at the French Open. By the way, Iga hit for us at Indian Wells in Miami before that, but we're just confining it to the summer. Iga hits the French Open on June 4th. Then the Warriors win the NBA title. We got Iga at plus 450 multiple times for the French pre-flop. NBA title, the Warriors get it done, plus 550, which we got way back when, at the beginning of the regular season. Warriors get it done on June 17th. 6 days later, the Paolo Banchero going number one to the Orlando Magic against all odds happens. Cha-ching on that. And then yesterday, and we bring in Bradley Porras for this, the College World Series culminates with Ole Miss winning the entire thing at 100-1 for us. I want to just thank everybody on Twitter who sent such nice notes. I also want to congratulate all the people on Twitter, that might be you, who tailed and hit Ole Miss at anywhere between, I don't know, 18-1 all the way to 80-1. A lot of 80-1s out there, too, and 75s and 65s. Congratulations to all. Bradley Porras joins us, who was with us from the beginning on this. Bradley, congratulations to you, man. What a rush. What a ride.
Yo, so I wasn't dreaming.
You weren't,
woke up.
You weren't dreaming. You weren't dreaming.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Let me just,
gosh, that was unbelievable.
Let me just start by saying this. First of all, it was so much better interacting with you the whole time. The fact that we knew each of us had these bets, it made the experience so much better. But I just want to, if we're being honest, right, and I think we should all, like, it's incumbent upon us to be honest about all this. It's just like the Banchero thing. The number shouldn't be what it is. We have no idea if it's going to get home, but let's bet it. Ole Miss, 100-1. We bet this before the conference tournaments. And so think about it, Brett. We didn't know if they were getting in a selection show. Remember, just equivalent to like a March Madness for people where there's a bubble team from like a Power 5 and they just get in based on the fact that they're Power 5. Remember during the selection show, we were going back and forth and we were thrilled that Ole Miss got in. They were the last four. That was the first upset. Then the tropical, so they get in that way into the big dance in the 64 of the regionals. Then the tropical storm in Miami, where if the games get scuttled, Miami advances out of it. Ole Miss never gets a shot out of the regionals. They schedule around that by an act of God, where the tropical storm doesn't happen. And then, my goodness, yesterday didn't hurt that the run was taken off the board for Oklahoma. Who knows how that would have turned out. But I guess it's just what I'm saying is we have to acknowledge that in cashing this amazing bet, so much good fortune had to happen.
Yeah, I mean, like you said yesterday, too, it's like whenever they called the interference and running down the lane, it's like, gosh. I know there's the replay, and it's technically the right call, but how many times do you really ever see that called? And like, even in the big leagues or so, they just play it out, keep going and everything. But if at that moment, if it didn't say, okay, we feel like we're destined to win, like said, against odds, getting put in probably more on politics than anything, surviving the storm, missing, and it's just unbelievable
That play yesterday, for those who missed it again, this is so Ole Miss is, or it's a best of three, Ole Miss and Oklahoma in the College World Series Finals. Ole Miss won the first game on Saturday handily 10-3. And then yesterday it was 0-0 into the seventh. But there was a play, right, where Oklahoma looked like they were going to take the lead 1-0. They called interference on the runner on a review going down the first baseline. What was amazing to me, and I think this is, again, because I was asked about this on Twitter, yes, if you're being honest about all your bets, I mean, one of the big sort of macro statements I want to make is when you lose bets, you have to be honest about it. When you win bets, you have to be honest about it. Not that Ole Miss didn't deserve it. They played like a favorite from the beginning of the regionals, right? Like, they might have gotten in as a last four, but they played like they were going to be champs from the outset. But yes, there are moments of good fortune. And that one yesterday, I think by the letter, it was the correct call, but I can't believe they take the runaway.
Yeah, and like I was telling you, it's like in my just being around the game of baseball my entire life, my instant thought was, yeah, the run comes off the board, you send him back, because I feel like it's the batter makes an out. The batter's out, so he's out. So since he's out, it's like you can't really move anybody up because it's kind of like a, not a dead ball play, but a play where the runner is out due to interference. So you just kind of got to reset play, and he's out.
Yeah.
So I can totally understand. I honestly don't even know how the ruling goes to where, you know, he doesn't get to advance. It's just, I just feel like being around baseball, it's just like, yep, if the batter interfered, he's out, and just kill it right there. He's out and everyone goes back. But yeah, it's horrible break for OU.
Yeah. There was a runner at third at the time who was scoring on the play on a bunt. And I guess what you're saying is right. It just reverts back to how the play begins in terms of where the base runners are. But what messes with your brain is that the runner scores so far before the play at first, right? So that it's sort of, you're like, I can't believe that went our way. Anyway, Ole Miss.
You know, I guess I was going to say for the baseball one, I feel like because the ball never, the play never left the infield, he's got to go back type thing, you know, that.
Yeah, but I want to give you a shout out because you were on top of this from the beginning. Had the four futures: Texas 15-1, Stanford 30-1, A&M 40-1, and Ole Miss 100-1. You were all over the fact that Texas and Stanford were the weak links of the bunch from a pitching standpoint. You deserve all credit for that, man. And I want to, you know who I really want to give credit to? I want to give credit to William Hill. Because back in the day, and it's my pinned tweet, right? Me and William Hill didn't have a good history back in the day, as with so many they didn't. But they're under new management. And none of this is possible to any real impact unless someone takes a real bet. And I just want to send a shout out to Eric Biggio, who we're in contact with on Twitter. Just want to send a shout out to Will Hill. They offered these bets. Not only do they offer them, they take great bets on these. And good on them for being the one place here in Nevada that consistently has stuff up to take big bets on. So shout out to them. And that's not to mention, by the way, what a boon this College World Series was on a day-to-day basis just in terms of inefficient markets. We'll talk to Ben Wilson a little bit about that later. But, Brad, congratulations to you, man. This was a ride of a lifetime, and I'm glad I could take it with you, man.
Yeah, it was. It just made it so much more special, you know, to have you along the way. And, you know, even sharing it with my wife, Bethany. I mean, I'm glad that I had both of y'all with me, because I'm not going to lie, I mean, you hear you talk about in this day and age, like mental health, like I was stressing about losing it towards the end. And, you know, like I have three kids and thinking, like, looking at them like, hey, you know, dad was being greedy. He didn't, you know, take some money off. But, you know, I talked to Bethany. She was like, no, you know, this is, we were fine before. We'll be fine after, like, just let it go. And I talked to you and told you, and you're like, yeah, I mean, you can't, if that's not what you believe, then go with it. And we just kept riding Ole Miss the whole way. Kept
them.
Taking them. Money line, run line, let's go, Gil.
Not only did we not hedge, we bet Ole Miss on Saturday and then run lined them and money lined them yesterday. Brad, thank you. We'll talk soon, my man.
Yeah, appreciate it, Gil.
Bradley Porras, everybody, at Bradley Porras on Twitter. Coming back with Todd Wishnev next on Baseball.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Won't take you but a few seconds to stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's a couple points I want to make. One, I'm so glad Brad Poor said that at the end there, which is, we don't talk about this enough, too. Rufus and I talk about it a lot when he's on, which is like the mental health of all of this, just the psychology of everything. So here he was on the cusp of hitting. Here we were on a cusp of hitting this massive ticket, right? But in his case, and I can relate to this as well, it's not like you're losing. It's not like you have the potential to lose a lot of money. You have the potential just to miss out on not winning a ton of money. And what that does to you mentally is just makes this racket so challenging as well. And he really had to fight through it. And so in the end, it comes out roses, but you really do wonder in the moment if you could have interviewed him and how he was feeling. It's just that it's, anyway, there's so many fascinating aspects to it. As sports betting, always a reflection of the human condition itself in so many ways. But congratulations to everybody who rode and cashed on the Ole Miss Rebels. And I'll say this, Tim Elko, these guys, Jeff, who play for Ole Miss, I don't care how many of them go to the pros. If Tim Elko strikes out 55 straight times in the pros, I will love him forever. By the way, Ole Miss, you can do no wrong with me for the rest of eternity. I love you, Ole Miss. I love that school. The other thing I want to point out is we showed the summer of 22 graphic. If you're just landing on this show for the first time, let me just say this. This doesn't happen, right? French Open, NBA title, NBA draft, number one pick, College World Series at 100-1. That's all in the month of June. This does not happen. And what I said to Drew the other day, because he was congratulating me about Ole Miss, I said to him, I go, you know that this means that I'm going to go 2-17 at Wimbledon. Like, there's just no question I'm going to go 2-17. This is how this works. I hope not, but that's how your brain messes with you anyway. Todd Wishnev joins us, ladies and gentlemen, from his mom's cork attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He is the star, one of the stars of Showtime's docuseries Action, and of course, the star of the Megapod. How you doing, Toddy? What, you're looking to the left, which means you're live betting something.
No, I'm just watching Djokovic against Kwan in this Wimbledon. I don't know if you guys have that up on the thing on ESPN. It's really
can we get tennis now that up I'm on there?
Yeah. Now that I'm an amazing tennis player, I you know, pick up things here from the pros.
Now that I'm an amazing tennis player, he says, because you are ranked number one in some kind of Pittsburgh ladder of some sort?
Yes, in the Pittsburgh Shanley Park ladder tennis thing, I'm ranked number one. To be fair, there are probably about five guys better than me, but I'm still ranked number one because of the points. And if you play a lot of matches, you get more points. So right now, I'm ranked number one.
Well, I always say this. When you face Todd Wishnev on a tennis court, he's 10 feet tall at the net. It's very difficult to figure out how to win a point against him. Okay, well, let's start with baseball. We'll get to your weight loss challenge with Steve Fezzik, which people might be curious about also, that we talked about. You have this great year-long bet. But baseball, the anticipation of position players pitching, which has always been a thing in the past where once it was happening, everybody would send texts around like, oh, position player. It wasn't like an every night kind of thing. How has that changed? How profitable has it been this year?
It's been happening a lot, and it is profitable if you know what you're doing and you're paying attention to everything. I think the basics that you want to learn is that it's obviously better when the road team is winning big. So if the road team's up 13-1, you have a better chance of getting a position player because they're going to bat in the top of the ninth. So even if the manager's going to let his regular bullpen or somebody like the 13th pitcher in his bullpen pitch the top of the eighth, he may not allow him to pitch the top of the ninth. Now, he may not allow him to pitch the top of the eighth either. Sometimes they bring the position players in as early as the top of the eighth. But certainly when you're going to get the ninth at bat, it's easier when the road team is ahead by a lot. Now, that being said, when the home team is up a lot, the bottom of the eighth is in play because obviously they're not going to bat in the bottom of the ninth. But if they're up big in the bottom of the eighth, oftentimes you'll get to see that happen for the home team. But like I said, you're in a better situation with the road team way ahead.
All right. When you say in play, you're assuming people know what you're talking about. You're talking about betting an in-game over?
Yeah. Betting in-game overs or betting the team winning, you know, let's say they're up, you know, 10 by betting them minus 9.5 or something like that. Typically, yeah, the overs are really good. I'll give you an example of one where I like the bet over already in game, and I thought, oh, there's also a possibility for the position player. I think the Cubs last week were up against the Pirates, I think 10-1 around the fifth inning or something like that, and I bet it over 14.5. I got unlucky in that nobody scored all the way to the top of the ninth. And then they put in a position player, and he got two outs, and there was a guy on first. But the thing is, with the position players, it doesn't matter if there's two outs. You could have, like, four or five hits in a row against these guys who were throwing 50 miles an hour. So they got another guy on, and then another guy on, and then a guy hit a grand slam to go, and I won anyways, 15-1 in a game I probably should have lost. But because I was anticipating that I might get the extra juice from the position player later, because, of course, you never know if you're going to get the position player if you're going to bet it early. You can always obviously wait until the eighth inning or something or the ninth inning, right before the ninth inning, but it gets a little dicier then because they don't always put it up. And then if they do put it up, they might get it ahead of you. You know, it's always easier if you can anticipate it. But in that situation, I anticipated and I figured, oh, I'm going to get the possible extra juice from it. And I did. It was pretty lucky.
My buddy Randy Grichuk, who plays for the Rockies, there was a game a couple weeks ago where he ended up having to pitch an inning, and I think he retired the side 1-2-3, and he was texting.
Oh,
me.
It happened.
He was texting it me. He was like, "I was nasty." It was like, and yeah, he said it was one of the highlights of his career.
It absolutely happens. And Luis Gonzalez has pitched a number of times for the San Francisco Giants, and that guy can actually throw pretty decently hard. So sometimes these guys can get out. What is a new phenomenon that I've seen only this year? Regarding this whole end of blowout game situations is position player pitching for the team ahead. And I've seen it on two occasions by the Cardinals. They let Molina pitch and Pujols pitch when they were winning
right
by by like 14 runs. And usually you just see it as the road team because the road team's like, oh, we already lost. We're down a million. I'm not the road team. The team behind by, you know, more than 10 runs, we're down a million runs. We'll just let our position guy. But usually the team that's winning by 12 runs doesn't want to do it because who knows, maybe they'll score 12 runs again. But they've done it now. I've seen it twice actually this year.
It's actually a pretty smart, calculated move, I guess, you know, to some degree. Let me just ask you then the macro question of this. So, you know, even a year ago, 2 years ago, like I said, we'd get on, like once a week, not even once a week. It would happen once a 3 weeks, right? Maybe even more seldomly than that. And we'd be like, oh, position player in Oakland, right? Oh, position player about to pitch in Cincinnati. It started happening this year in April. And I remember we were on Primetime Action. We were like, what are we doing? Like, it's April and we're already doing this? So
why can't they do it?
Well, it was just new. Right. It was just like, OK, we're already managing for, you know, bullpen fatigue in April. Right. It makes sense. Right. When you have some time to think about it, I guess what I'm asking is, what would you say? How often do you say this happens now?
Oh, it happens a lot. I would say I can think of at least 8 times I've done it this year. And we're in the end of June. So it's been April, May, June. So in 3 months, I know I've made already about 8 bets on it. I'm probably about 6-2 on it. And actually, there have been like probably 4 or 5 other ones that I missed out on. So it's happened. I would say it's at least happened. I would take over 14. I bet you it's happened maybe even 20 times, but definitely more than 14.
Point being that your rate of return on that or your success rate is always going to be higher than even regular in-game betting. It's just because you're basically making a hacking the system bet kind of thing. So if you can get ahead of that, it's still like the best bet in baseball, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And look, I mean, there's always in-game stuff that is going to be available. I mean, I got one the other day that I just couldn't believe it. I got it. The Dodgers were going to bat 4 more times. It was the top going to the top of the 6th inning at the Reds. They were ahead big. And so the Reds were going to be having their crappy bullpen in, and the Dodgers had 6 runs, and the over was 7.5 minus 132 team total for the Dodgers. And I was like, what? Only 1.5 more runs for 4 more times at bat against a horrible bullpen like the Reds. And, you know, it was an easy winner. But there are these little gems if you're watching. And that really brings up the whole thing about bullpens. You need to know the bullpen stats are a little misleading because the bullpen stats, I remember you had that guy on, one time where he was like tracking different parts of the bullpen. That's important because the bullpen you see when they're losing versus winning is usually different for teams.
Mark Borchardt, he calls it the underbelly of the bullpen as opposed to like the closer. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. There is another point that has to be made about getting that minus 132. We'll talk about that. And Todd's weight loss bet with Steve Fezzik on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here. For only $19, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Sign up today and you'll get VSiN's daily best bets, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, NFL preseason coverage, premium articles on golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, and I know you do, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Points Read Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream, whatever you want at the cost, is only $19 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. And again, thanks to the hundreds who congratulated on the College World Series. This is from some Michael Knight. Gil, we need Drew back on expeditiously after this Orcutt's debacle. He's referring to the Beating the Book Wimbledon preview pod where both Drew and Dan's joining us a little later. Drew will be on the show tomorrow. They were all about it. Orcutt's, and Orcutt's is down 2 sets to love. They're 5-5 in the third set. He was down 5-3 in the third. He was back. What's the cliche? On death's door, back against the wall, whatever cliche you want to use. But Horkot still has a little bit of life. I on that podcast, I was like, I thought that quarter was wide open. We'll see if Horkot can maintain. This is from, John was asking Todd if he has Wimbledon picks. This is from Mike O'Connor. I hope you're taking Ben Wilson for a steak dinner. Awesome job. Ben Wilson will be on the show later. Ben did not have anything to do with our futures plays on the show. But Ben went 12-1 in his game-by-game College World Series picks. We all crushed game-by-game, but not quite 12-1. 12-1, spectacular. Ben Wilson's like, I think Gil thinks I'm a little more of an expert in college baseball than I am. Rattles off a 12-1. This is from Toast Patterson. Young Gilly, I was off Twitter for over 2 years. I watch your show every day. I'm sad you don't work nights anymore. Anyways, I had you as a minus 250 favorite. To have a blue check mark by your name on Twitter by now, what gives? I'd love to have someone at Twitter answer that question. Like, legitimately. Chris Hausch. Red alert. Gil has Todd Wishnev from Showtime Action coming up. Tune in. You might find a bone or two. Always good, good nuggets from Toddy. Bill Hooker, maybe you should make a guest appearance on PTA to award the largest fruit basket ever. I might. J.R. Boudouris, hope I'm pronouncing that right. Calculating the odds on your Iga, Golden State, Banchero, Ole Miss parlay at the odds you bet each of them, a $100 wager on that four-teamer would have netted $8.7 million. Oh, boy. Web12-66, who always has nice things to say. I'm kidding. This guy, he's talking about you, Toddy. We'll bring Todd Wishnev back. He goes, this guy really gets into the weeds with some of his stuff, I'll say. I'm glad he wins, but this stuff makes my hair hurt. Congratulations on your big ticket. Good for you. Todd Wishnev rejoined us. You make his hair hurt, Todd, is what this guy was saying.
I don't know why it hurts. It's just, mathematics and baseball.
And Todd Wishnev in two tweets. Lightning rod. Love him or hate him. I don't know why someone would not like that information from you.
Whatevs.
By the way, the one thing that was left out of that discussion before we get to your weight loss thing, the one thing that was left out of the discussion was when you were talking about, like, the Dodgers or any of this stuff with in-game betting. The luxury of multiple outs, right? Like, you can't do this as well in Las Vegas as you can where you are, correct?
Yeah, you got to have at least three open at all times, getting different numbers. It's a huge deal, obviously.
Right.
I mean, a perfect example, last night in the WNBA, a league that I really like, and it's, some people laugh about it, but I really love the WNBA. I used to think it was, like, silly, but it's really fun. And now that I know all the players, it's even more fun. But last night in the WNBA, you had at halftime 174.5 at one place, 177 at another place in the Sky game. I mean, a 2.5-point difference on a total between different places is just gigantic, regardless of whichever side you want.
Not so silly anymore when you see things like that, huh?
It doesn't happen all the time, but it definitely happens more than you would think.
And this is what you do every night. You sit down in the Cork Attic in front of the screens.
No, I usually watch down at where I have the DirecTV at Skipper's office, because we couldn't get DirecTV in here because there's major trees in the backyard.
Too much cork. So,
yeah, there's too much cork blocking it. So that's where I watch all the DirecTV stuff down there. I broke the bridge when I was fat this winter. So now I have to drive all the way around.
No one died in that story, right? So we could tell the story while laughing. Okay, there's a famous bridge in Pittsburgh. Todd had literally just driven over it.
At 1 a.m., I drove over it. At 7 a.m., it fell down, and my friend Skipper said, "You broke the bridge."
And then the bridge collapsed right afterwards. It's so true. No one died, so we're not making fun of anything. Okay.
But it makes it so much fun. It takes, 15 minutes instead of 6 minutes now to get over there, so it's a joke.
Little-known fact, DirecTV, the Achilles heel is cork. Okay, so you and Steve Fezzik, who won back-to-back super contests over at the Hilton back in the day. By the way, we should get, as this progresses, we should have Steve and you on at the same time. Do you think Steve would enjoy that? We'll have him on with you. And we'll get this. Okay, so recap what the bet was for everybody in case anybody missed it.
Okay, so on April 30th, I was 304.6 pounds, going the wrong direction, blood sugar going the wrong direction, everything going the wrong direction. And I started eating healthy that day. It's now been 58 days, and I'm down 43.8 pounds. But on May 12th, about 13 days in, I was already down to 289. I made a bet with Steve that and he weighed 227 that day. I made a bet with Steve, so he's 62 pounds less than me, that sometime in the year between May 12th of 2022 and May 12th of 2023, I would weigh less than him at some point in that year. And I get 3-to-1 odds because I'm 62 pounds behind, obviously. I probably deserve more like 8-to-1 odds, but whatever. I did it. We did it for 3-to-1 odds, 3,000 and 9,000. And the caveat is if we both make it to 180, so if we both touch up at 180 and he always stays below me, he is then allowed to fluctuate between 180 and 185. As long as he stays below 185, if I'm still below him, it's a push. So if he goes to 186 and I'm at 185, I would still win. But if he, you know, as long as he's below 185, once he's already touched up at 180 and I also get to 180, then it's a push.
Right. So if he's 184, but you drop all the way to 169, still a push.
If he has already gotten to 180 and touched up.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I like how you guys talk this through. So you started out 62 pounds heavier. Is that what you said? 62?
I was down 15 pounds. I was at 289. He was at 227.
Okay.
So about 62 pounds.
And now?
And now it's now okay, so that was on the 12th. So now we're about 45 days later. And I am 260.8 and he is 212. So I'm about 48 pounds behind him now.
Fezzik's not playing around either, is he? He is not playing around.
No, but he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, he's fasting and he's doing all kind of crazy things. He doesn't understand the scale. He's like, I don't understand. I was 212 yesterday. I'm 213. I didn't eat anything. I'm like, Steve, you got to look at the moving average. You don't understand. There's water fluctuations. There's all kinds of stuff. He's like, no, it doesn't make sense. It's
you would consider yourself to be a Hall of Fame weight loser, would you not?
Well, I've only lost over 100 pounds 4 or 5 times, so yeah. I would say I pretty much know more about this than anybody.
Okay, Luther. So the person who would say to this, "Hey, look, you're doing this too aggressively. This is not good for you." You would say to them what?
304.6 pounds and a sugar level of 150 is not good for you either.
And you would argue worse.
I think it's definitely worse. I'll tell you this. I'm not even taking metformin anymore. Now, I've been eating 1,500 clean calories a day, lean proteins, vegetables, and fruit. I eat 500 calories around 1 p.m., 500 around 6 p.m., 500 around 11 p.m., and I've been playing probably, 2 hours a day of tennis or basketball now. I even started playing basketball again because I'm thinner. But without metformin, my blood sugar today was 95, which is normal.
Good for you, man.
Without metformin. So
good for you.
I don't think it's as unhealthy as people say it is. I think it's healthy to eat healthy and to exercise.
All right. So you're 260 and Fezzik is 218, you said? 212.
He's 212, yeah. Yeah. Although right. I think he was 213 yesterday. It fluctuates back and forth.
Okay.
But,
and we are only a month plus into it. So
we're 45 days in. Yeah.
He's going to
be in trouble. Once we get into like football season where he's like working 16 hours a day looking for every freaking line, eating all kinds of crap, I can't wait. I'm going to be sending him pizza from Dayton. He loves pizza from his favorite place in Dayton. It's going to be fun.
We got to get Steve on here to just give his side of things, not just let Todd have the bully pulpit on this.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Good for you, man. We'll track it, and again, be healthy, man. Just And
I mean, I don't know what's unhealthy about eating 1,500 calories.
Nothing.
And exercising.
No, it's just a fast weight loss. By the way, I just want to say this, and I want to thank you dearly for this. When you strayed into how you were starting to play basketball, thank you for not sharing with us just how awesome you are at basketball, Todd. We all appreciate that because I knew that was coming too. I'm so good inside at three pointers.
No. I'm like Scottie Pippen. I can take the inside. I can take the outside. I can do a lot.
It's a regular Scottie Pippen on the screen here, ladies and gentlemen. I might as well have had Pippen himself on. It's the same. Samesies. You too.
In the Jewish world, I was funny.
Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa. These
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Enjoy tennis like never before with BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and place a $10 moneyline wager on the major tennis tournament in London. London Town. If any player records an ace in their match, You'll win $200 in free bets. Just use bonus code VSiN200 when you make your first bet. Sign up now and discover BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code VSiN200 to win $200 in free bets. If any player records an ace in the major tennis tournament in London, I guess we're not allowed to say the word here. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Remember, the future that we have is on the women's side was Iga Swiatek at 9-1. Only bet it once. It was available the night of Ash Barty's retirement at Boyd here in town. 9-1 on Swiatek. She opens the tournament at plus 150. And let me just say this again. This ain't clay, and this ain't hard courts. It's grass. She's never won a grass court tournament. So I am way more bullish about my 7-1 ticket on the U.S. Open coming up in late August than I am on the 9-1 at Wimbledon. But she's won 35 matches in a row, 52 of 54 sets in six tournaments this year. We've been on, I think, three or four of them. So, yeah, I'll take that chance with her. Let's put it that way. And then we added, at the end of last week, if you were listening, we added Rafa Nadal based on the draw at 7-1, plus 725, I believe, is the number I got on Rafa Nadal to win the men's side just based on the draw. I mean, am I worried about his injuries? Am I worried that this isn't his favorite surface in the world or his best, even close to his best? Of course. But the draw made it just a bet. So, again, just putting it in context, would I be just disappointed if both lost? Well, I mean, I'll be disappointed, but like, would I be shocked, I guess is what I'm saying? No, I wouldn't be. It's grass. It's a very unique, specific moment of the calendar tennis-wise. Jeff, we've gone 45 minutes on the show, and we have not to mention that the NHL Stanley Cup Finals ended last night, so shame on me. We were so into our 100-1 ticket cashing on college baseball, but congratulations to everybody who had Colorado Avalanche tickets to win the Cup. Or if you followed our own Andy McNeil and had the Conn Smythe. He had Makar at 13-1?
He had a pretty nice number. That was gone very quickly once this tournament started.
Yeah. Good on him. He was like saying, he goes, did you jump on that Makar when I told you to? And I go, no, I was too busy hitting 100-1 on Ole Miss. But I could have had Makar. I should have listened. By the way, we were gonna flood our show with hockey guests today and tomorrow, with Andy McNeil, with Jake Hahn, with Todd Wright. Now there's no reason to at this point.
Very, very impressive all the way around by Colorado. How often do you see a team that's not in the NBA, because it feels like it happens in the NBA, go wire to wire as the betting favorite?
Yeah,
and actually win it. That's what Colorado did this whole year.
So, is it? It's pretty much consensus that they were the better team.
Oh, they clearly were.
Yeah,
they were the best team all year. It was just the past demons.
I'm just saying, even proving it against the Lightning.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. The two games, game three was whatever. They had a bad day. Game five, Vasilevskiy just stole. They're a better team in five or six games.
And the Lightning now, they're going to break that team up, I'm told. Just based on,
I mean, it's the cap more than anything.
Cap more than anything, yeah. That the team which came two games shy of a three-peat, and now it's time to break it up to some degree, just by necessity more than anything. Coach may leave too, you think?
I don't know why, unless if John Cooper's burned out, I don't know why he would go anywhere.
Hockey's so weird with coaches, though. Just very odd. Todd Wright believes he's going too, so I don't know. Don't know. But congratulations to everybody who had Avalanche tickets. We on a lark on primetime action. We were like, before the series, we're like, ah, we'll take a Lightning ticket. We couldn't believe it was still alive even after all this time. What a win for them in game five before the Avs come back yesterday, trailed 1-0, scored two goals in the second period, and held it the rest of the way. Lightning didn't really have many good opportunities even. Like, I remember like one shot where it was like legitimate could have gone in, but it went wide of the net. Avalanche 2-1. Now, do you believe this could start? Do you think they are the short shot to win it again next year? Right.
I mean, they are. They should be, yeah, until proven otherwise. Now that they've busted through,
yeah.
Again, it's the same theory that we talked about with Tampa, when Tampa was the team that was always looked at as the perennial choker. They bust through, win two cups. Milwaukee, same sort of deal. Even though they didn't get to the finals again this year. We kind of trust them now that they busted through once.
Do you enjoy hockey more with mini dynasties or when randoms like the Blues or the Capitals are winning?
I enjoy it when we have a fresh Stanley Cup final.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I enjoyed the random Washington-Vegas Cup final. I enjoyed
it's the best.
I enjoyed when we saw Nashville make the Cup final a few years ago, even though that was the second of two titles for Pittsburgh. I enjoy seeing fresh faces, especially in that sport, because that tournament, as we know, the weirdest of them all.
Yeah, I wonder, though, for the casual person, like, if that pans out the same way. Because I can't imagine, like, some, like, diehard in you know, in Boston, when the Nashville Predators are in, it's like, oh, I got to watch this hockey game
tonight.
Yeah, but
for some random fan in Boston, if the Bruins aren't there, they don't care anyway.
But, you know, I mean like a traditional hockey powerhouse city, right, where they're just like, oh, it's the Preds this year, great. You know, I don't know if I would almost imagine they would prefer some giant, some Goliath to knock down.
I mean, if it's Colorado and an original six next year, I don't think anyone's going to have a problem.
Let me talk about baseball for a second, because I'll probably ask this of Paul Spohr later on the show, but he's not on until an hour from now. But the Yankees and the Astros with a pretty darn good series this weekend, and in a series where the Astros had a combined no-hitter and then looked like they might be on their way to another back-to-back. Was it six innings deep into that? It was still a no-hitter in the subsequent game. Yankees come back, not only tie it up, but win it on a Judge three-run Jimmy Jack. Is that clearly, and I know baseball playoffs are the most random, as much as we talk about how random the hockey playoffs are, and again, for the millionth time on this show, let me give the stats by Lopez Stat. 80% of NBA favorites get through NBA postseason series. A lot of that has to do with the top-heavy first round, traditionally. It's a little less top-heavy these days, but traditionally it's that way. In order for 80% of favorites to manifest, to get through in the NHL postseason, you'd have to play a best of 51, literally a best of 51. In baseball, it's a best of 75. Even with that backdrop, did we just not absolutely see the American League Championship Series preview this weekend?
You would think. Gil, we're at a weird point where you know who the third best team in the AL is as of this moment?
You're talking about by standings or by who you think?
By standings.
Don't say the Twins.
No.
It's whoever is in second place in the East.
And that is the Boston Red Sox.
Who were mired in fourth.
Right.
For a long time.
And left for dead at the beginning portion of this season. And they're the third best team in the American League.
I can remember a couple times when we saw the division odds, I would say no interest in the Red Sox at 40-1.
Yeah, I mean, they're still big bloated numbers, not like that.
They're still way down, though, right?
They're 11 games back.
Yeah.
I mean, Gil, the AL and the AL, like you said, that unless if something really weird happens, and of course, best of 75, you can get some weird things. Those are the two best teams in the AL, and it's pretty obvious
at
this point.
Without question, right? Like, without question. I didn't think we'd get to this point where it'd be like without question, because you thought before the season maybe the Rays, because the Rays are always there.
Maybe Toronto takes the step.
That's right. But it's so clear in the American League. Not as clear in the National League, but seems so clear in the American League. National League, who would you say right now? Dodgers and who?
Dodgers and Mets are the two best
Still
teams
Mets.
To me.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. And then Atlanta's the third best team.
Atlanta's the third best team.
Yeah.
Remember how they were mired. Baseball season is so long. That's the thing, right? Like, we can say all these things. We can fill content. We can fill a quarter of the way into the season, 60 games in. You know, we're not even halfway in. We're doing our Q2 derivatives thing next week or the week after. Like, that's how young this season still is. So, like, any conclusions, and then there's still a trade deadline, right? So you can't really end up on any conclusions whatsoever with any of that. You look like you're about to say something? Oh, I thought you were jumping in on that.
No,
Yankees one game worse than the 2001 Mariners at this point in the season. So, in other words, if you put the 2001 Mariners, who won 116 regular season games, their game log, the Yankees are 50-17, I believe, is their record.
Right now, they're 53-20.
The Mariners were 54-19 at this step of the season.
I do not think the Yankees are getting to that number.
Well, that's hardly stepping out on a limb.
I know that. I know that's a really difficult thing for me to say here.
I'm just saying they're keeping pace. They are keeping pace pretty well. We'll come back. Dan Weston from London to talk Wimbledon with us. And what's going on with Hubert Hurkacz, among other things. What picks he has the rest of the day. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.